This podcast is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County and produced by CMJW Entertainment.
You're listening to The Vital Women of Washington Heights.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Vital Women of Washington Heights Living in Dutchess County's 11th episode. My co-host, Yvette O'Sullivan, unfortunately, has technical problems because you know that it does exist. So, she's with her blessings, she said, to move forward. We have Tony here, Ayanos, right? Last name is Ayanos. I love the last name, Tony Ayanos. Tony, I met you about a year and a half ago, something like that, at the Wellness Center, and I was just overwhelmed with your energy, your presentation. You came in, and then I met you again at the gala, the charity gala, and I was just so happy to see you that I said to Yvette, we have to invite her because you are so community. You are, you know, you bring in this energy of vibrance, of movement, of ancestral energetic light that I would definitely love us to kind of just really talk about that. And if you wouldn't mind just talking about how when you had a brick and mortar, talking about that experience and then moving on to how and what you're doing now.
My family and I had started Empower Center for Cultural Fitness. We had a studio in Poughkeepsie on Main Street. At the time, because we were serving the young people, we were offering classes in martial arts, dance, and fitness. Eventually tried to bring in African drum, African dance. We were there for about maybe 6 years or so. And unfortunately, due to finances and being able to maintain the high rent, we had to step away from that location. We moved around for a few years and then got invited to come into the school district to offer after-school programs. We did martial arts and dance. And eventually that blossomed into including visual arts and performing arts into theater. And we got to do our first production with the kids. We had over 30 kids at the high school. And it was a multimedia production, which incorporated African dance, drumming, visual arts, and theater. We had the kids do spoken word. Some of the dance pieces included spoken word. It was just powerful. And through the years, we would be invited to perform at local events, annual events, and our dance troupe would evolve and grow and excel in dance. Both of my children grew up teaching and participating in the martial arts and dance program. My daughter is currently a professional dancer in the commercial industry. My son continued his training in martial arts. Got his second degree black belt in traditional Goju-Ryu style that my husband is teaching. And they continue to teach dance to today. I've continued in my work and my mission to continue to teach the youth and adults. I've had an ongoing residency with my Tuesday night class. That's Afro-Caribbean fitness and dance and wellness. I try to incorporate the importance of mindfulness, the importance of our energy, how we utilize that, how we tap into music, how we tap into movement. But I think, unfortunately, too many of our own people have lost touch with. So it's an honor. It's an honor to continue to be able to touch the youth as well as the adults, those who are willing to open up. And I think the way you expressed it or mentioned that you were able to see that visibly speaks to the connection that I have culturally, because it's part of our culture.
I felt, well, first of all, I'm from the Dominican Republic, so I'm Latina, we're Latinas, you're Cuban, Puerto Rican, so we already have that DNA of connection of, yes, I see you, you see me, I see you. So it was just amazing to see, just to feel you on that dance floor. So I can only imagine when you express that to others that you're teaching on how movement is so important for mental illness. And I want to pause a little bit because that's important, because what we're talking about today is about how movement can help you release, to relax, so you can empower yourself and remember your body, the movements of your body. We have it it's imprinted in our DNA, the movements, la salsa, el merengue, whatever, la cumbia, tú sabes, el movimiento, the hips. We need that release. That's what people used to heal. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that. But before we move on, I'd just like to mention that MHA Mental Health America of Dutchess County is our sponsor. And we're so happy. Yeah, I mean, it's all coming into place, mm-hmm. Tony. It's all coming into place because having such an organization sponsor our podcast makes sense because we're having the same conversations. And they have wonderful programs that they offer for the youth and for the, you know, people that are seeking for mental illness, mm-hmm. people who are veterans, you know. They're located at 283 Manson Street in Poughkeepsie, guys. You know, check them out. If you guys feel in some kind of way and you need guidance, yeah. give them a call. You know, Andrew O'Grady's always saying there is no health without mental health. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I wanted to kind of just give that space that who is sponsoring us so we are able to be here and talk and have these conversations with people like Tony who definitely you've been of the community for so long and now your children are of the community as well. So talk to me, sweetheart, on how that feels, how when people release with movement, how that mind feels, that mindset.
To me, it has always been everything. It's the moment where you see the connection where the student, the participant, allows for the release. They're open to it. And I want to reference a couple of things. I don't know if you or your audience is familiar with a documentary called Alive Inside.
No, but thank you for that. I'm writing it down.
This was a documentary that followed patients, elderly patients, in a nursing home. A particular gentleman wanted to do an experiment. And at the time, he was using, I think, iPods, mm-hmm. mini iPods, right?
Okay.
And I think he spoke with one particular family member of a patient in the nursing home. And he says, hey, would you mind if you tell me what their favorite music was when they were young? He brought in the iPod and he had a headset, put it on the patient. Almost immediately, listening to their music that they loved, maybe back in the 30s or 40s or 50s, is like a switch was turned on. It opened up memories that had been dormant. So a lot of patients, if you've ever gone to a nursing home, are just sitting, not speaking, not moving, nothing. So he realized the effects and decided to bring in multiple devices and have several patients listen to iPods, listening to their particular music that they loved in their youth. And in pretty much every case, it sparked something.
There we go.
Where patients were non-communicative, not moving, it switched all of that. Just because they connected with music that resonated with them.
Mm-hmm.
People were talking again. Like one particular patient started talking about stuff from 40, 50 years ago.
Look at that.
Just like that. From this to absolute alertness. And then with my college students, I taught at SUNY New Paltz for 20 years. That course, there was a course in African dance and a course in Black dance, both 3-credit courses, independent classes. Students were required to do weekly readings, little short quizzes. They had to do a creative project and then a final dance piece. The creative project was wide open, where I allowed them to do anything they wanted creatively. They could paint, they could draw, they could sing, anything they wanted as long as it was artistic. Many cases, the students would pick up something that they were no longer doing for whatever reason, because now they're so busy in their college mm-hmm. life. They're working, they're trying to maintain their courses or extracurricular clubs or whatever. And in many cases, they were like, oh my God, I didn't realize I missed that. And I'm like, well, why did you stop? You really shouldn't stop connecting to that thing that gives you a release, that feeds your spirit. And in many cases, because I created a community within the class, the students were open to discuss their trauma, whether it was mental, emotional, or physical. So a lot of it has to do with who's in front of them, who's guiding them. Are you able to connect with them, to touch them in such a way that they trust you? They're open to you, and you're able to pull the best out of them.
Sometimes
it's not just, oh, because you teach something wonderful. It's how are you resonating? How are you connecting with them?
Mommy, because you're a healer. You're a healer. You know, you heal through your dance. You heal through expressing your experiences through music. You heal through educating others on how this has helped you look the way you look and be and live the way you live. Because with that peace and that giving, I feel like you're always giving. You're such a giver. And no matter what has happened, you still show up with this beautiful light and with this beautiful grace. You know what I mean? And that's what people need to understand, that when you follow your spirit, whatever happens is supposed to happen. It's just the way you work it. You work it, right?
Absolutely. And so, I feel so unfortunate that so many of our people have lost touch with the vitalness of it, because they're on that wheel of, I got to survive, I got to provide, I have to do, but you're not giving back to yourself. So one of the things I would teach within the course is that our people, our ancestors, believed in balance. Balance is mind, body, and spirit. Not just body, not just spirit. It has to be all three. And what allowed them to endure the atrocities was the one day that they were able to fellowship with each other. The music, dancing, coming together, talking. And we need to do that again. We've lost community.
We definitely need to reboot. We need to reboot. Absolutely. Because, and you know, and you're showing up right. You're showing up right. The education is important. You teach them babies, teach them in school, because that has to be part of their studies on how to balance mind, body, and spirit. How not to, you know, if you need to move, move. A lot of people say, stop dancing. Listen, stories, for real, facts. I worked at Raymore & Flanigan, and I was the dancing sales girl.
Good to see you.
People used to come in, hello, how are you? My name is Iris. Let me know if you need me, because I don't want to be pushy. But that was my vibe, because they have music going on all the time. Nita, music is good for business, too.
Yes, how could you resist?
Exactly. How can I resist the music? But how? But this is business. Think about it, sweetheart. Businesses use music to calm people down so they can buy better. They buy more. So you said it earlier. You have mentioned that these people at the nursing home, everyone felt better when they heard the music that they resonated with when they were little, because they're thinking about their inner child. Oh my God, cuando yo era chiquita, ay, mira, cuando yo era joven.
It literally turns on a switch.
So we need to make it, we need to have better conversations in our community.
And also, because in the affluent communities, do they take away the arts?
I forgot about that part.
In the poor communities, isn't that one of the first things that get removed?
Okay.
So our people are suffering because those programs, those type of programs, don't stay in the schools.
They're not consistent. They're not consistent. They're not consistent. Okay. God, we're going there. Yes, we are. Let's go. See, they're not consistent because they're looking at the child that has all these traumas and dramas that might not be interested in art. That's the first thing the kid is going to be interested in. The child that's having problems at home, that the parents are yelling, you know, there's alcoholism or mental illness, they're going to gravitate to those programs. Those programs are going to be the numero uno on their list, not math or science. Art, music, and dance is going to be the numero uno in that child's list. So that needs to be better. Because guess what? Everything else will fall into place and get better. You know that, girl.
Offering the after-school programs. And this is not to brag, but just to point out the effects, the impact. The martial arts program my husband ran would maintain 40 to 50 students. The dance, we would have 30 to 35 students. These were children who wanted to come. They weren't being forced to come. That says something. Where other programs, you might see 5-10 kids in there.
Trying to figure things out there, right? But these kids know what they want. They come, they participate, they're inclusive. You know, there's diversity going on. They're mingling, they're socializing. That's what we need to do. So a little bit about me. I was raised in Washington Heights. I was in programs, after school programs, since I was like 14 years old until I was 21. Cooking for them babies, showing them their homework, playing basketball with them. You know what I'm saying? So you and I are definitely talking the right language here. We need to embrace better conversations with the principals of the schools or the, you know, whoever. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But we need to have better conversations because our children need art, music, and dance. Daily, not one or twice or three times, four times. I'm a Reiki practitioner and I have three babies. They're siblings. They come to me every other week and we dance and we talk and we meditate and we do a little yoga and we do a little bit of this and we do a little bit of that. And the father loves it because it does something to them. So you see what I'm saying? We need this. Our children need to learn to be free, connect with their souls, their essence, their spirit. Yeah, girl,
we are life force, energy. Everything is energy.
Okay, and how some people don't understand that. Some people don't. When you talk to them about energy, they look at you like they want to take three steps back because they don't know what you're going to zap them or something. But okay, so can I just give a quick example?
Okay.
I used to work in corporate. So you work in corporate, you might work in an office, you got multiple cubicles or yada, yada, yada. Girl, I knew when the girl behind me was not having a good day, was not having a good morning. I felt that. I didn't know anything about energy. I didn't talk about energy. I'm talking about when I was in my 20s, my mid-30s, working on Madison Avenue, Rockefeller Center. She used to come in with this energy, and I was like, oh my God, she's in a bad mood. Oh my God. My nervous system went into gear. Like, I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So if I would have known that when I was processing, if I would have known what I know now then, I would have had a different conversation in my whole entire life. So it's important that people understand how their system works, how energy works, in order for them to understand that that cumbia, that salsa, that calypso is not only dance, it's not movement, it's not sensual, it's not sexual, it's needed, it's healing. And you could talk a little bit more about that.
Some people could probably relate to entering a room or being around someone that after they spend some time with them, they feel drained.
There we go. That's perfect example.
Energy. Or you're around someone and you just feel fabulous. It's energy. We are affected by other people's energy.
I'm glad you said it and not me.
They don't recognize it. It's not taught, and we're not connecting spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, the way we used to, the way our ancestors used to.
We're changing it up. So I want to remember to ask you some questions that Yvette wanted to ask you. So, but I'm glad, no, because Mira, I'm in my head. She's probably sending me, don't forget to ask my questions. With that said, with children, if you have a mom who's on menopause, going through menopausal experiences, what would you recommend for that mom, especially when she's got little kiddos in the house, that you know as a person that understands the body, understands movement, and is a facilitator, creator, that you know your body. What would you recommend for that woman that's in her head all the time and that has babies that she has to take care of? What would you recommend?
it's really finding something that speaks to her, that will allow her the release that she needs from her daily routine, from her daily challenges. Whether it's a single mom or a mom with a partner, you have to recognize how to replenish yourself. And that could be in movement, it could be going out for a walk, it could be biking, swimming, painting, drawing. And for people that are in corporate, I would say find a way daily to give 5 or 10 minutes to yourself.
Got that.
Stay away from the cubicle, walk away from the desk.
Be center.
5 or 10 minutes can make a huge difference in how you respond or react to the mess that's going on in the office. I mean, for some people, exercise is great. For others, they hate it. Okay, so what else can you do that will bring you joy? That's really what it is. What's gonna feed you emotionally,
exactly,
spiritually, physically, mentally, that replenishes you? If we are not full, we cannot give to others. And who gets the first impact of that? The babies. They're watching everything we do.
That's it.
If we're jacked up and we're going or doing whatever, calms us, they're watching. And whether you want it or not, that's the example we're setting.
Everything. And I'm so happy that you mentioned that, because that's so important. Mm-hmm. Because you are there feeding off of your energy. They're looking, you're the projector. They're projecting everything. They're seeing everything. They're feeling everything. So you have to be so mindful when you're raising these kids how to be. You can't be reckless.
Yeah.
Especially moms, if you're going through your menopausal brain that you're like, oh my God, I'm losing my mind. Center, recenter, take a dance class. My recommendations are releasing that energy. Release, 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 release.
Absolutely.
And then after you release
Reiki, Qigong. Yeah. Those are all other forms.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to mention that. Thank you for saying that, because that's such a support.
Yes.
When you start dancing and you start releasing, you start feeling better, right? Then when you start feeling better, you have to maintain that betterness. You have to maintain that. So when you start dancing and exercising, then you bring in like Reiki. Then you bring in energy work too, so you can sustain, so you can keep that. Yes. Listen, I'm a Reiki master and I practice Reiki on myself, and I heal heal others healing themselves, because I am a facilitator of helping people understand that they can also heal themselves. I'm just facilitating the space and the time and the tools that I know, so they can understand how to use their tools as well. So that's, I don't want to say I'm a healer. No, I'm a healer, but with others I heal. I'm a better healer when I'm healing with someone else, because that's the point. Then when you start journaling, and then you start, what is it that's coming up? What is it new after your dance and after your healing? What is it that you need to write down so you can remember? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have great ideas when they go to a gym class and they take, you know, they come out feeling boom, 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 downloading. You see what I'm saying?
Allowing for the creative juices now.
There you go.
Yeah. It starts something. We are able to improve our mental wellness emotionally. For some women who are going through menopause, it may cause issues with them, low self-esteem, depression. So you have to find ways to rechannel that energy.
Okay, that's very important you said that, because that's a very, very menopause big time problem. Women start looking at themselves and they're like, they're not as pretty, that they're not as tight, they're not as whatever. They're not the same, they're different. We have to learn to have a better conversation on how can we improve being different and making it better, or just working with what you got and being grateful you still got it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And I think that's also a big part of our culture was gratitude. Grateful for everything we have and everything about
us. Yes.
But if we're losing touch with that, then where are you? Because what we have
you just said it
affects everything else. We have to be careful what we're thinking, what we're speaking. Because that affects everything.
It does, because the body holds memories. It holds words. You're creating your own story. So if you're not
to ourselves the way we speak to a loved one, are you going to tell your loved one, oh, you ain't, you effed up?
No.
No.
You
give
can't.
Yourself grace the way you would do for someone else. Be careful how you speak to yourself. When we mess up, we mess up.
You know, you said something very important. And I keep doing that because I'm just happy. But I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. You know, when I was in sales, you had to keep a positive mindset, because you have so many opportunities throughout the day to make money. And if you didn't have the right mindset when the client, when that first opportunity was walking into that door, that client was going to pick that up.
Oh, yeah.
And that then mattered what the outcome would be if the client felt you were stressed, or you had anxiety, or opposed to us, you were happy and you were just grateful to be there. I'm happy to meet you. Let me know if you need me. Girl.
And let me say, that's just as important on a phone call.
See?
don't understand, you know, because they're not doing it as often as we used to do it.
Right.
They're on their devices texting. So no one gets to see them. No one gets to hear them. But give you an example. My daughter attended a dance workshop, and I had the privilege of being able to sit in. This was a world-renowned choreographer.
Oh, and nice.
I'm observing his choreography, and at one point, he says, you know what? Split them in half and have them face each other. He says, I want you to find someone across from you, and I want you to look at them when you do the dance. Instant change. I was like, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, yes, tell them. You know why? Because now the choreography was sensual. And when they had to connect with someone, honey, it was a whole nother energy. There you go. That's the way it's supposed to look. Like you're looking at somebody. Like you're trying to entice somebody. Isn't it different? The energy changes.
Girl, you're flamingo right now. Oh, I love that. I love that.
They don't understand the importance of eye-to-eye contact and how you could say so much with just a look. Girl,
yeah. Listen, this reminds me of you. Hold on. I got to share, because this reminds me of you, and there's no way I'm not going to share. I don't care. You know.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's lovely. Oh my gosh.
She reminds me of you.
Aw,
Spain.
I received that. Thank you. I love it.
Spain, girl.
Thank you.
That's the dance.
Yeah.
That's the dance. It's como
expression and dance. Dance is also theater. You cannot let your audience in if you're not expressive.
Exactly. You're going to dance and just dance. You're not going to dance.
Feeling it all, you know?
Oh, my God. You inspire me. You just inspire me, you know, to be creative and to really let go. Because some people, when you dance and you let go, they'll look at you like, what's she doing? Are you crazy? Mm-hmm. No.
And for me, I remember a teacher referred to me as a dancing spirit. And for those of us who are very passionate about it, yeah. But it's an everything. You know?
You really are.
A little on a smaller scale and others on a bigger scale. And it's there. It's just how we express ourselves, you know?
So I want to ask you more about your dance class. And I'm going to go tonight. But I want people to take, you know, now that we're here, I want them to share that experience on why you started this dance class. Because you're in schools. You had a brick and mortar. You mean you could be home and just chill, but you're out there on a Tuesday night still serving. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's, for me, that's what I see, is you serving. It's not that you're trying to make some money over here. It's like you just want to do something for the community that you know is going to be helpful. So just kind of share your love for that, because I feel like you are that's very dear to your heart.
Mm. Dance has always been a passion. I think probably since mom's womb, you know. I would find out in my adult years that my parents, whenever they had house parties, my father would play the African drum and my mother would dance. Hence, I would grow up with a love and a passion for African culture, African music, African dancing. So when we moved into this area, and I wanted to go back into the workforce and do something that I could do while I had my child, I went to the local gym and talking to the aerobics director at the time, he says, hey, why don't you consider doing kind of an African dance type class. And I was like, that's it. Because I used to attend an Afro-Brazilian dance aerobic class in the city before we moved up here.
Mm-hmm.
So I cultivated Afro-Caribbean fitness.
I love it.
By God's grace, been doing that for 25 plus years. And to this day, it is an absolute honor and blessing to hear people say, oh my God, Ms. Tony, I used to come to your classes when you were here, when you were over here. I remember, for them to maintain the memories of what it gave them, is precious. And for people, some of them are still with me. And it just speaks to my passion for dance. And my understanding of the importance of the release, I think I'm sane and somewhat healthy because I've been able to continue these classes. It serves me as much as it serves my participants and my members. So I value what it gives and what I'm able to pass on and give a space for people to be willing to open themselves up and see what's in them and allowing them to release.
I love that. I love that. Have you written a book? I feel like you should, because, well, yes, oh my gosh. Because that's because I think, well, you know, I'm kind of sort of intuitive. So I could see you putting something together where people can resonate with that. That's important because you did it from the heart. You started something from the heart. How can you not? Tu sabe, make it better and more. Because when you do something from the heart, it's with purpose. So I feel that writing a book for you would be just like explaining. And people, maybe they need to cozy up. They don't want to go to a workshop. Maybe they just need to read a good book and say, oh my God, I should start doing that. And la, la, la. You see what I'm saying? Because that's how I am. I have a lot of books. Mm-hmm. And it's because I said, oh, that's something that I can do. I can explore. Because for me, so let me just share a little bit. When I was Reiki attuned, by a nurse in New Jersey. I didn't know too much about Reiki, but I was premenopause and I knew and I understood that my body was going through some changes and I needed to handle them. Because spiritually, I thought I was bugging out, thought I was going crazy. So I got into Reiki because a co-worker, who was a spiritual woman, said to me, you should maybe consider seeing a Reiki practitioner. So when I Googled it, I said, oh no, this is something I could probably do. My first attunement, the morning that I woke up, that I was getting ready to go to my second attunement, I promise you, Tony, I was dancing. I was just like this mystical, maybe battle. I don't know. I felt very, ¿cómo que se llama? very belly dancing, like, you know, and I was like, where is this coming from?
Opened up something.
Girl, awesome. I promise you, this is no lie. It just opened me up to releasing. So I know how important dance is, because when my first attunement, what it did was it opened me up to receiving more and letting go of old beliefs. When I was a little girl and I used to dance, a mí me gusta el merengue, yo soy dominicana. Deja de bailar, no baile, la, la, la. It gets to a point where a kid is like, oh my God, I can't dance no more. I get yelled at every time I dance. So it goes back to where we were talking about earlier, that you said that our people are losing that connection because of everything else that was around them. Mental illness, mama. You know, because of their past experience, negative emotions and negative experiences, they can't release it. That's a big problem. So I would recommend for anyone to start dancing, because there's a lot to do in this universe. And we have Miss Tony here, who has a wonderful, wonderful energy and who's a healer and who does everything with love and light. Like, come on in, we'll figure it out. That's the energy that, and you know, and we have a lot of things in common. You know, you had your facility in New Pulse where you had your brick and mortar, and due to financial things, you know, things had to change up, but that doesn't stop our spirit, because everything that happens because it's supposed to happen. And you just have to go with the flow and see what else is going to happen. But if you stress and you stress and blah, 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 then nothing, then you're stuck. I think I wanted to bring that up because I feel that with dance, you release all of that. Se te va. Okay. I don't know how much time we have, but I want to talk about the ritual of it. Can we talk about ritual dances a little bit? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead.
Within the African culture, I mean, there are dances that are specific to ceremonies. And first of all, within the African culture, there are dances for just about every occasion, from birth to death and everything in between. Dance was usually to tell a story or to celebrate something. And in some cases, even to celebrate life because someone has transitioned. For the young people within the culture, dance and music is part of everyday life. It wasn't only preserved or done because of a special occasion. I think Westerners kind of use music and dance in that way. Where if you go to a community in Africa, the vendors may have a drummer drumming for them.
Love that.
You may see the children outside dancing, or some of the people from that community or village dancing. You know, it's part of everyday life. When I taught at New Falls, and I would ask the students, how many of you had music or dance daily, like it was a part of your home? Not all the hands went up.
Look at that.
So for some people, it's foreign. It's like, oh no, you know, that's when you go out. We weren't allowed to play music or dance in house. You know, that was reserved for special occasions. I mean, I remember it was every day. My mother would encourage me, yeah, Betty Baila. Or yeah, watch her. You know, look what she can do now. It was a constant. So the importance of African dance and music, because the drums was also used to connect with our ancestors, was used in nature, you know, it was vital. And I think for us, it will resonate because it's almost like a muscle memory.
And so right, muscle that makes sense, yeah.
That drift rises up, it reconnects us.
I'm glad you said muscle memory, because I keep saying the body remembers, but it's muscle memory.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about that, because I think that when people understand what muscle memory is, they can probably maybe resonate with it and understand it and click with it better.
Something I used to share with the students was, if a mother is pregnant, let's say she's from a village somewhere in Africa, and for whatever reason, she has to give that baby up. Let's say she gives the baby up for adoption. Maybe someone European adopts that baby, travels across the world, and raises that baby. When that baby hears music from their original place of origin, where their mother is, don't be surprised if that child recognizes it and starts to move to it.
There we go.
Because in the womb, the baby feels everything your mom feels. Mommy was dancing and listening to that music on a regular. No matter where that child goes, hears that, it's going to resonate.
I believe that 1,000%. Oh, hell yeah. Girl, I'm so happy that you really define that. Because people, sometimes I'm like, how can I explain muscle memory? But you just explained it to a T. And I see it in my granddaughter. We'll talk more about my granddaughter because I want to start sharing that when you watch a child, when you analyze and when you're raising a child and you see their patterns, you begin to click on how to raise them. Right, Ma?
Yes.
My mother, there was four. And I used to say to my mom, why do you talk to him the way you talk to him and you don't talk to me that way? She says, because you listen differently. He listens a different way. He's a Taurus. I got to slow it down with him so he can really hear me because he's very stubborn.
Good point.
Do you see what I'm saying? So you're saying the same thing, Ma, that when the child, so it's important that we start having these conversations with the words. Let's just reiterate with the words. How do you speak to your children? What kind of energy you have towards them? Because they are clicking into you. It's like the octopus, right? They have lots of antennas. Those are your babies. They're clicking onto you. So it's important that you stay happy and that you stay joyful and that you keep dancing.
Because being honest.
Being honest. Oh, that's a good one.
Going through sadness. But how do you work through that? Are you doing it by picking up something that's going to get you intoxicated? Or are you choosing a positive, constructive, healthy way so that your child sees that in you and knows, okay, when I'm going through something, I could channel that state.
That is definitely going to be an episode when you come back. Because we need to discuss on how not to create bad habits. Especially when your premenopause is the worst time. Because now you are open to receiving more or getting less. Depends on where you're at. If you want to receive more, if you want to become that, you know, that elder, that wise person, that queen, then you need to dance and you need to figure it out. You need to meditate and you need to heal. If you can't stay in the mud, embrace your newness. Embrace what you're going through, right, Ma? Embrace it. Because the older you get, for me, the sexier you get. I don't know. Look at
it
you.
It can be.
I mean, I'm just saying, because I'm in a different state in my life and I'm embracing it and I'm willing to listen. A lot of people my age would say, you think I'm going to go after 7 o'clock? And say, heck yes. Heck yes. You know why? And I'll tell you why. I wouldn't have done this 6 months ago, but I just came back from a vacation. That's another thing. When you take a vacation and you reset, and I did some classes, some movement classes that I tell you that were just so motivative. And the first thing I thought was Tony. I got to go talk to these classes because those classes motivated me. So I can imagine your class. And I really didn't. I mean, I didn't connect with the instructor. I connected with you. So it's like I can only imagine what we can work on and what we can, you know, what kind of energy you're going to ooze.
I can't take all the credit because it also depends on the energy that comes into the room.
That's what I mean.
It might start with me, but it's also what my participants, my members are willing to give, to engage, how much, all of that is part of what happens.
But you ignite it, sister. You ignite it. And I'm telling you now, with your vibes, with your ignite, people are going to be flying.
Yes.
So I just want to end this with this. We are here to share our experiences, all of us, everyone that comes onto the podcast. You know, we're just here to share our experiences and who's ever watching, you know, if you have any ideas, please. And Tony, before we leave, I want you to share, you know, location. I know it's at the River Valley Art Center, which I've also been there. It's a beautiful location. It's a nice, cozy space to go and kind of figure yourself out. Tony's there, you know, let's check it out. I'm going to be there. I'm going to take a video and then post it, you know, and I'm sure I'm going to have some fun, but I want us to be aware. I want people to know you because I know you and you're amazing. And I want to share that experience. Thank you, mommy. Thank you. I also want to leave with MHA, Mental Health America, Dutchess County, Andrew O'Grady. Thank you so much for first just sponsoring our podcast and for being a big part of our community. Because like you said, there's no mental health without having a healthy mental state. So we have to keep moving forward with that. We are Vital Women of Washington Heights living in Dutchess County. I am just bringing my experiences to help me get from the heights here. Just saying. And on my way, I'm meeting people like Tony, people like Yvette, you know, Yvette, and she's amazing. I love her to pieces. You've been on Yvette for a minute.
Yes.
Anyway, but that's our second. Tony, you must come back. Yes, that we love you, Yvette. Thank you so much for making this happen. But we are definitely going to be working together. So watch out for our videos and our, you know, what we have to share with you. God bless you. We love you. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Namaste. Namaste.
This podcast is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County and produced by CMJW Entertainment.